We have gathered in honour and memory of American missionary volunteer Micaiah Lancaster. Romans 8:37 to 39 says, "Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, neither angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." At 3:16 p.m. on Sunday, the 14th of January, 2018, American missionary volunteer Micaiah Lancaster drowned in Newlands Dam. Micaiah is 21 years old. He was in the country with his younger brother, Isaac, for the three-week Great Commission course, after which they planned to travel through to Mozambique to serve at Isaac's mission there. It was a sweltering hot day, and after ministering at a church in Belleville South in the morning, Micaiah and his brother Isaac and some other participants of the very intensive Great Commission course took advantage of the only free time in the packed program of that week to head out to Newlands Dam for a swim. The level 6 water restrictions imposed by the municipality of Cape Town had effectively closed all the swimming pools, as it's illegal to top up your pools, and therefore the swimming pool that they could have on other occasions used at the mission was depleted, and the local municipal swimming pool at Newlands was closed. Along with hundreds of other Cape Townians, they went for a swim at Newlands Dam. Now, the dam is primarily for the South African National Parks Wildfire Services, their forestry department, for the helicopters to refill their large canvas fire buckets that are slung underneath the helicopters for containing forest fires. The dam is 8 meters deep. It's 28 feet deep. Shortly after arrival at the dam, Micaiah swam out to the middle of the dam, and he is then observed to be struggling by Carl. Carl, one of the GC participants, immediately swam over and sought to help him and pulled him up. He had already sunk beneath the water. And he pulled him up. Micaiah was not saying anything, and it seemed he had swallowed water. Carl called for help, and immediately Christopher, Calvin, and other GC participants swam over to assist. But by the time they reached the middle of the dam, Micaiah had disappeared beneath the surface into the dark and deep waters. For the next hour, Calvin frantically dived trying to find Micaiah in the murky deep waters, although he'd run a 15K run just that morning. Other participants of the GCC on the bank phoned the emergency services, the police. Rondebosch Police Station responded quickly, the Fire and Rescue Emergency Services, and of course our mission. As soon as I heard of the crisis from a phone call from Rachel, I raced over with my daughter Daniela, and we were astounded by the vast amount of traffic on the road to Rhodes Memorial, where people had parked in order to go and swim at Newlands Dam. The people were being evacuated, and so it was like swimming upstream with this tidal wave of people leaving as we were trying to get through. The police had ordered everyone out of the water and away from the dam so as not to impede search and rescue efforts. The station commander at the Rondebosch Police Station, Colonel Britt, was on site, and she informed me that since the closure of Newlands Swimming Pool, many hundreds were coming to this dam, especially on very hot days. And while Newlands Swimming Pool, which is shallow and clear enough that you can see the bottom, has lifeguards on duty when open, Sandparks, whose jurisdiction the dam was, did not have any lifeguards on duty. My son Calvin, Brandon, another GC participant, were still in the water when I arrived. They were frustratingly urging the police and emergency medical services people on the banks to help, but they were informed that procedure prevented them from entering the water. They had to wait for the divers' arrival. South African Police Service divers and the Fire and Rescue Service divers were battling traffic to get to the dam. One fire and rescue service emergency medical personnel said to me, if this was a clear swimming pool, we would plunge in. But in the extremely deep and dark dam, their procedures required them to wait for the divers. When I found Isaac, Makai's younger brother, he had just completed a phone call back to his parents in Missouri. And incredibly, Isaac informed me that 9 years earlier, when he was 9 years old, his elder brother Timothy, who was 17 at the time, had drowned in America. Several of the young women on our Great Commission course were on the bank, praying intensely. Calvin was surely physically exhausted at that stage from continuously attempting to dive and persuade the people on his side to help. By now, Makai had been under the surface for an hour. Some of our girls expressed shock at the callous and thoughtless comments of some bystanders, and Kyle expressed his great frustration that while he was struggling to keep Makai afloat and trying to swim with him, there were strangers swimming nearby who did not respond and only looked on. All of our Great Commission course men did plunge in and swim with great urgency, but they could not reach him in time. At approximately 5:20 p.m., 2 hours after Makai disappeared, the Southern Police Service diving unit and the fire and rescue personnel divers had arrived on the scene and were beginning a systematic search of the floor of the dam. By 6:40 p.m., Makai's body was recovered and brought to the surface. We all prayed with Isaac, and then both Isaac and I went and shook hands with each of the divers in particular and other rescue personnel we could reach and police to thank them for their efforts. They seemed surprised. I don't think they get a lot of thanks. In fact, if you think of the job of the divers, how many times do they get a chance to save a life? All too often they get there too late. And that's not their fault. And so we thought it important to express our appreciation for them and to the other emergency services present. And then, as we were standing by the body on the kind of stretcher that they used for recovery purposes, by the vehicles, we prayed again with some of the emergency service people, the rescue people who were present. We thought it was important to include them in the prayers. And then had to return back to the mission to report the sad news. At this point, several of our people testified that that morning at Belleville South, the church where Makai and parts of the GCC team had been ministering, Makai had testified at the church that very morning that when he was 12 years old, his elder brother, 17-year-old Timothy, had drowned. And this had brought Makai to surrender his life to Christ. He then read out in the church Romans 8:28-30. And we know that all things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn amongst many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. Everyone on the course testified of Makai's extraordinary faith and joy and humility and servant heart, and what a blessing it had been to us all. And I immediately recalled the testimony of faithful in Pilgrim's Progress, who after dying in the Lord was seen collected by chariots of fire and taken direct to the celestial city, jumping the queue, as Dr. De Kock pointed out. And Christian continued rejoicing on the narrow way, rejoicing at faithful's life, his witness and his steadfast. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. Later that evening, I spoke to Makai's parents, and I must say, I was dreading it, because the last time as a mission leader I had to do that, 1994, our missionary Anthony Duncan had died on a most difficult and tragic series of missions December 1994, we sent four vehicles into the field. Well, some left in November. But four vehicles went into the field and only one vehicle came back. And Anthony Duncan, who had survived a rhino trampling him into the mud when he was a game ranger, who had survived gunfights with AK-47 armed poachers while he only had a bolt action rifle, and he won, who had survived firefights when he was in the infantry, who had come off his motorbike at 100 miles an hour, 160 kilometres an hour into a mealie patch and survived. We said that Anthony had more lives than a cat. But you know why cats get nine lives. Have you ever tried to stand at the door saying, well, are you coming in or not? And you can imagine St. Peter standing at the gates, are you coming in or not? And that's how cats tend to get their nine lives. Well, Anthony was a dedicated Christian. He went, his last night on earth, he went up the hill in Atosha Game Reserve where he came to the Lord as a game ranger. He prayed, he came down, he found his entire backpack, everything stolen out of the vehicle. He owned nothing more in the world except the boots he was wearing, the clothes on his back, and his Bible. And he didn't see the sun rise or set again. He was with the Lord before the sun rose the next morning. I had to phone his parents, who were not right with the Lord, and to have a mother, I'm talking about Anthony Duncan's mother, screaming at me over the phone, and all that you can imagine in that kind of grief. Very hard, and his brother and sister as well. And yet at the funeral, Anthony's parents testified how on his way up to this mission to Zambia and Angola to deliver over a ton of Bibles and medicines and books to people in Angola who were under the blockade of the UN in that time in the UNITA-controlled areas. On his way, he had stopped and he had challenged forcefully his parents, who were divorced, and his brother and sister, who were backslidden, to get right with the Lord. And they did not respond, except at the funeral. Many people came to the Lord through Anthony's testimony. I was expecting something like that, though. Instead, the extraordinary thing is how Micaiah's parents responded with such grace and such concern for our people, such concern for my son Calvin, who had exhausted himself trying to save his son, who felt that he had failed, for Kyle, for his frustration over not being able to save their son despite many efforts. And as I spoke to them, Paul and Tressa Lancaster and other of their children, they shared John 12, verse 24. Most assuredly I say unto you, Jesus said, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it does die, it produces much grain. And they spoke about the parable of the sower in Matthew 13, where our Lord reminds us that the Lord sows his sons into the world to bear good fruit. Now most people know the first parable of the sower in Matthew 13, 18 to 23, where the sowers are ourselves. We are the sower. And the word of God is the seed. And the field is the hearts of people. However, there's a second parable of the sower, later in Matthew 13, verses 24 to 43. In the second parable of the sower, God is the sower. The sons and the daughters of the kingdom are the seed. And the world is the field. God sows his children into the world for us to put down roots and to bear much fruit. He who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seeds are the sons of the kingdom. On Micaiah's application form, under his life purpose, he wrote, using every life's breath for the glory of God. Our life is short, so we must do all that we can for his glory and nothing else. That's all a quote from his application form under life purpose. Psalm 116 verse 15 came to my mind, and we recalled it on that Sunday evening as we were discussion is, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. In answer to the question, what is God's ultimate call in your life? Micaiah answered, giving God glory. The fear of the Lord has called me to be a missionary. I'm daily waiting on him and seeking to do all that I can for his glory. Now, previously, Micaiah has been involved in missions to Mexico and to Mozambique. Micaiah's parents, Paul and Tressa Lancaster, then made clear to me that they wanted their son's body to be buried in Africa, as he had expressed his interest before, and that they do not want their younger son Isaac to cut short his mission to Africa. They want him to complete the Great Commission course, which he is keen to do himself, and to continue on to complete the planned mission to Mozambique. As a mission leader who's been involved for 35 years in missions, this is remarkable. Normally you find when a tragedy hits, the people want their children back home immediately. You can only think of Philippians 1, verse 21, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Now, of course, this has been a traumatic experience for all of us in the mission, and for every participant of the Great Commission course. However, the calm and the confident faith of Isaac and his parents and his siblings, they've set the tone. And no one has sought to cut short their time of missions training. It wouldn't have been surprising if some wanted to, but everyone has stayed on, continued with the outreaches. Isaac is determined to complete the course and to complete his mission planned to Mozambique. And our team has bonded together even closer. On Monday night, when we climbed to the top of Lion's Head, and we held a prayer and him singing psalm, praising the Lord for the life of Micaiah, we prayed in the top of Lion's Head for many to be brought to salvation as a result of his testimony. We're all the better and we are the stronger for having known Micaiah. We do grieve. Because we have lost a friend and a brother. And because it may be a long time before we see him again. But we also rejoice in the sure and certain hope of the resurrection of the body from the dead. At the day when our Lord Jesus Christ will return to judge the world. Death for the Christian is not fatal. Death for the Christian is not final. Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life. On Sunday night, we read 1 Corinthians 15, almost the whole chapter, from verse 12 to 58. And the concluding verses gave us our marching orders in these difficult days. I'm quoting from 1 Corinthians 15, verses 54 to 58. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin. And the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, be immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. On Monday night, Colonel Scott Paskowski came through to encourage us, and he read this poem. It was first published in the newspaper in 1930. I will lend you for a little time a child of mine, he said, for you to love the while he lives and mourn for when he's dead. It may be 6 or 7 years or 22 or 3, but will you, till I call him back, take care of him for me? He'll bring his charms to gladden you, and should his stay be brief, you'll have his lovely memories as solace for your grief. I cannot promise he will stay, since all from earth return. But there are lessons taught down there I want this child to learn. I've looked the wide world over in search of teachers true, and from the throngs that crowd life's lanes, I have selected you. Now will you give him all your love, nor think the labor vain, nor hate me when I come to take him home again? I fancied that I heard them say, Dear Lord, thy will be done. For all the joys thy child shall bring, the risk of grief we'll run. We'll shelter him with tenderness, we'll love him while we may. And for the happiness we've known, forever grateful stay. But should the angels call for him much sooner than we've planned, we'll brave the bitter grief that comes and try to understand. It is appointed unto men once to die and after that to judgment. This is an appointment not one of us will be able to miss. This is an appointment not one of us will be able to be late for. No need for press-ups being late for this appointment, because when this appointment comes, we will be on time. Micaiah's brother said, within minutes of the drowning, there are no accidents in God's kingdom. God does work all things together for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Our Lord Jesus once said to professional fishermen, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament. And those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. Many religions believe that there is an afterlife. But what is unique to Christianity is the distinctive belief in the resurrection of the body. Christ's resurrection guarantees that those who die believing in him shall one day be raised in his likeness to be with him forever. Through Christ's victory, death has lost its sting. Because there's an empty tomb in Jerusalem, we can face death in the sure and certain knowledge that Christ has delivered us from the coming wrath and from eternal judgment through salvation by the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. We grieve, but we do not grieve as those who have no hope. At this time when we feel such heartache, pain and loss, the Bible offers us great comfort, encouragement and direction in life. In the Bible we are told that it is better to go to a funeral than to a party. It actually says that, Ecclesiastes 7 verse 2. It is better to go to a funeral than to a party. Because the living should always be reminded that death waits for us all. There is a time and a season for everything. There's a season for every activity under heaven. There is a time to be born, and there is a time to die. There is an appointment that we will not miss, not one of us. It will not be possible to be late for this. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment. There is nothing more certain than death, and there's nothing as uncertain as the time of dying. We should therefore be ready at all times for that which may come at any time. We do not know when. We do not know under what circumstances our lives will come to an end. But we do know that when we die, we will stand before Almighty God, our Creator, our eternal Judge. And we will have to give an account of our lives to Him. Our Lord Jesus said, do not be amazed at this. For a time is coming when all who are in the graves will hear His voice and come out. And those who have done evil will rise. Those who have done good will rise to life, and those who have done evil will rise to be condemned. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one of us may receive what is due to him for the things done in the body, whether good or bad. I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind to reward a man according to his conduct, according to what his deeds deserve. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the Book of Life. And the dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. If anyone's name was not found written in the Book of Life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. At death, we leave behind everything we have, and we take with us everything we are. The character with which we die is the character with which we will appear at the judgment seat. If you are prepared to die, as Micaiah evidently was, then you're ready for anything. Until you're free to die, you're not free to live. It ought to be our business every day to prepare for our last day. If we take care of our life, God will take care of our death. Being mindful of death should make us serious, industrious, and conscientious. As cricketer turned pioneer missionary C.T. Studd declared, "You only have one life. It will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last." We need to work out our priorities in the light of eternity. We need to invest our time, our talents, our treasure into those things that are going to last for all eternity. Our family, the people of God, the Word of God, the King of God. These are ultimately important. Life is full of choices. We can make over 100 choices in a day, from deciding when to get up. Okay, that decision is made for you when you're on the GCC, but normally you can decide when to get up, what clothes to wear, what to have for breakfast, what things to do, how to do them, where to go, what route to take, when to accelerate or stop, who to phone, what emails to respond to, what articles to read. All day long we are making choices. From the trivial to the routine, from the important and vital choices affecting our relationships, our health, our safety, and our security. Well, today, at Micaiah's memorial service, we should make another choice. Where are you going to spend eternity? Some of us have already made that choice. And we can say, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, praise the Lord. No turning back. Others of us may not want to think about eternity at this time. But in time, death will come to us all. And as we gather at any funeral, we should soberly consider our immortal soul, our never-dying soul, and the day when we will stand before our eternal Creator and give an account of our lives. At that point, our choice will be final. What will God say to you on that great day of judgment? Will you hear, in the words of Jesus, "Well done, good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joy of thy Lord"? God is just and merciful. God is holy and he is loving. Each one of us today has to choose to face the reality that we only have one life and it will soon be passed, and only what's done for Jesus Christ will last for eternity. Are you living in accordance with the Creator's instructions, the manufacturer's handbook, the Bible? Are you loving God and are you loving your neighbor? Do you forgive others when they offend you? Each one of us needs God to forgive us. We need to forgive our loved ones, whatever they might have done, whatever we might hold against them. We dare not carry grudges, bitterness or unforgiveness in our hearts. Forgive one another as God in Christ has forgiven you. In the light of eternity, knowing that you are going to die and stand before our Creator and eternal Judge, you need to review your life's work, your family relationships, your habits and activities. One day you and I will stand before the judgment seat, before the judgment throne of Christ, where God will judge each man's secrets, all the harsh words, and judge each person's work impartially. But I tell you that men will have to give an account on the day of judgment, Jesus said, for every careless word they have spoken. So then, each one of us will have to give an account of ourselves to God. In eternity, will any of us regret praying too much, being too forgiving, being too generous, studying the Bible too intently, sacrificing too much for others, being too concerned about the welfare of others, investing too much into our families? No. I do not believe that any of us will regret being too forgiving and too generous in the light of eternity. But we will regret missed opportunities, unresolved conflicts, wasted time, which was an emphasis of Micaiah's, that every breath be used for the glory of God because our time is short. If you knew that you were going to die next year, what would you do differently this year? We must work out our priorities and repair our relationships in the light of eternity. We must be ready at all times for that which may come at any time. Are you ready? Can you say, for me to live as Christ and to die as gain? Dying, Christ destroyed our death. Rising, Christ restored our life. Jesus said, whoever hears my word and believes in him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. Let us unite our hearts in prayer. Our loving Heavenly Father, you who did not spare your beloved only Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, but gave him to redeem us by his death on the cross, comfort and support us who mourn here before you. Let us not doubt your love, but bring us through our sorrow to a fuller knowledge of your divine wisdom and purpose. And that all things work together for good of those who love you and of the called according to your purpose through Jesus Christ our Lord. Lord Jesus Christ, your heart went out to the widow of Nain, who had lost her only son, and you restored him to her. You were deeply moved by the grief of those who mourned over Lazarus' death, and you wept and restored him to life. Have compassion on your servants in our loss and grief. Be to us a very present help in trouble. Give us the eyes of faith that we may see that the eternal God is our refuge and that underneath are the everlasting arms. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, with you are the souls of all who have died in the faith of Christ. And here we commit the body of our dear brother Micaiah Lancaster, earth to earth, dust to dust, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly bodies, that they may be like his glorious body by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control. In sure and certain hope of the resurrection to eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord bless him and keep him. And the Lord make his face to shine upon him and be gracious to him. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon Micaiah and give him peace. Amen. Let us say the grace together. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.